Part 1, Chapter 10, Man, Know Thyself. Our reflections have thus revealed that in our field of existence, an unholy fire has been ignited and is being maintained. We carry it with us as the fiery, flaming torch of the soul. This fire in us is fed again and again by the central, unholy fire, burning in a certain perfidious core of our domain of life. In the universal doctrine from earliest times, this central fire of unholiness has been referred to as Lucifer. It is a center of hydrogen which does not vibrate in harmony with a divine archetype and can therefore never give rise to truly divine life. It unlashes only disaster, death, and destruction. Hydrogen is soul substance, and therefore a concentration of hydrogen in the Materia Magica is always individualized. It is filled with consciousness, an innate, natural consciousness. This explains why Lucifer is always said to be a mighty entity in opposition to God. In its deepest essence, however, Lucifer's consciousness is unreal. Deception, for Lucifer is not an entity but a natural phenomenon active in unholiness in this world. Because the idea which gave rise to this hydrogen concentration is undivine and not in accordance with the plan of God, we can only speak of a consciousness of an entity when the focus of the soul is connected with the absolute spirit. Without this connection with the spirit, there is only a focus, a meaningless flaring fire, a dangerous delusion. The fire elements of our soul, inflamed in Lucifer, are just as unreal as this central, unholy fire itself. When all the fire elements of the soul, burning in Lucifer, recognize their unreality, their fundamental delusion, and refuse to exist any further in the fire of unholiness, then the central Luciferic fire too will be extinguished. This is clear. It may be difficult for you to understand and to admit that in reality you do not live, but only exist as a natural phenomenon. The sum total of your existence is the result of the myriad possibilities existing in the Materia Magica. The torch of your soul burns by the agglomeration of a number of natural fire spirits alluded to as salamanders. The merging of a number of salamanders, those fiery serpent principles, of the element hydrogen, i.e. of the fundamental fire element, causes the phenomenon known to you as consciousness, the sensation of I am. As dialectical souls, you are fundamentally aimless. Your existence is like the rotation of a wheel. You live to die and you die to live. Everything here on earth rises and falls. Nothing is either permanent or essential. From this you must learn that you and your world are merely the result of aimless, motoric fire activity, of a chain reaction. Your whole existence is based on an unholy alchemical formula. Your soul, hydrogen torch, burns in oxygen. The process is guided by the two factors of the element nitrogen. The result manifests itself in and through carbon, and the whole emanates from a focal point, Lucifer. Should you not want to see or accept this fundamental dialectical state, should you reject these conclusions, what can you do? You can do what many before you have done. You can go the path of natural magic, the path of occultism. Where does this path lead? To the heart of the Luciferic field. Let us prove this to you. First of all, a question. Is it possible to step outside the dialectical field of existence? Can a being of this nature, a soul fire principle, inflamed by and burning in the Luciferic core, step outside this field of fire? He cannot, because it would be entirely beyond his natural faculties. He can exist only in the field of his birth, in the field of the natural basis of his being. He can but remain what he is and where he is. He can roam and grope the rim of his circle of existence, but he can also try to break through to the core of his field of existence. This is what the occultist does. He penetrates to the foundations, to the key basis of his existence, and tries to dominate and control it. Thus, he wants not to be a servant, a victim, but a master. This path can indeed be trodden, but what does this person do in reality? By his activity and its results, he reinforces the Luciferic core of the unholy field of existence. He makes this fire burn more brightly than ever before, or fans it anew if it is in danger of becoming extinguished. In other words, he has entered the inferno both bodily and literally. Essentially, he has become one with the core of the unholy fire. Just as an organ shows a new character through an alteration in the number and structure of cells, so the occultist of the Luciferic nature merges into that nature and can no longer free himself from it. He has become one with that nature. This is the state described by all reports, myths, and legends of Scripture when hell and hell fire are mentioned. Only those who throw themselves in enter the infernal Luciferic fire. Who throws himself into this fire? Whoever, in the passion of existence, consciously links himself elementarily with it. Perhaps you can now see the boundless ill fortune of the compounded force known to us as the dialectical hierarchy. This hierarchy constitutes the combined force of all those who maintain the Luciferic core of our field of existence. They are bound to do so, compelled by their necessity of self-maintenance. However, let us look at this dramatic element in its right perspective, because it is not a matter of real life, but of a natural phenomenon severed from the gnosis. Let us, therefore, not condemn the occultist, for has he not, following his passion for existence, fled to the very heart of his source of existence, following very natural paths? At the same time, we discover that everything religious in this nature and based on the great and well-known natural religious systems is in reality based on the core of the Luciferic hydrogen field. It is the number of salamanders or fire principles in the soul fire which determines whether one becomes a mystic, an occultist, a materialist, or a primitive biological being. All these forms are connected to one another like the links of a chain, and their state of being is maintained by the infernal fire. Some of these people have already linked themselves completely with the core of that fire, others not. Not yet. And you belong to this latter category. All of this need not, however, fill you with fear of the fire of hell. In reality, every dialectical natural current returns after a long circuit to its center, thus to the Luciferic fire. The natural occultist does this quickly and radically, while the others go a road following a spiral course. Once they have arrived at the core and become one with it, the fire core starts emitting new sparks of existence. These two are again taken up in a process of aeons-long manifestation, a process of dialectical human manifestation, and ultimately return to the source. That something becomes nothing again. The sham consciousness which existed so long bound to the wheel is again neutralized. There we have the familiar rotation of the wheel and the Luciferic circular course. Standing at a certain point on this twofold path as a mystic, occultist, materialist of whatever else, you are now being addressed by the spiritual school and told, you do have a consciousness, but you are absolutely void of any life, for life exists solely in and through spirit. This consciousness speeds like a rocket through a series of states of being until it passes into the center of your field of existence and is neutralized. This merging into, this being absorbed by the Luciferic center of our field of existence, is called the Inferno, the entry into the hellfire. We are attempting to explain to you a series of natural phenomena in which you yourself are involved, and we ask you, must this continue? Do you not want to make any change? Now, it is possible that these explanations and these questions appeal to you in a special way, that you are moved by them, for these questions and the power behind them, appeal to the spirit spark atom in your heart sanctuary. Whoever is in possession of such a spirit spark atom cannot remain unmoved by this appeal. This spirit spark atom is a wondrous thing. In the preceding chapter, we approached this mystery by speaking about the hydrogen atom, for the fiery hydrogen atom is the beginning of the personality's process of genesis. The hydrogen atom, ignited by the Spirit of God, gave life to the original personality. However, this original personality has disappeared, and only the old hydrogen principle remains. It lies in a state of latency, hidden in the heart sanctuary. This ancient hydrogen principle, this spirit spark atom, takes no part in any respect in the process of maintaining the present dialectical sham reality. You may have one difficulty in understanding the above. Perhaps you are able to imagine that the old life principle has followed a degenerative line, a line of decline. So it would appear logical to assume that at a given moment this line will take a turn, a new ascent, so that a process of evolution will start. We must tell you, however, that such a notion does not at all reflect the truth. Just as a motor stops as soon as its fuel is exhausted, so also the original life principle stops working as soon as the connection with the nourishing spirit is broken. All that was initially possible through the spirit will then disappear. Thus the obvious question arises, are there then two life principles, two hydrogen principles, two serpent fire principles, an original one in latency since there is no power to nourish it, and a second principle which is now highly active? This is indeed the case. This fact is one of the unshakable foundations of transfigurist philosophy. We would therefore like to enter more deeply into the matter in order to acquaint you with the whole truth. The universal doctrine has always spoken of these two principles. From this doctrine we know Christ is the opposite of Lucifer. Christ is the divine mandatory, Lucifer the servant endowed with great power. Lucifer, on account of his glory, is called the morning star in the Son of the Dawn, the brilliant apostate, the mighty insurgent, the light-bearer. He is said to bear the highest title outside heaven, because he cannot exist in heaven, but outside heaven he is everything, and in holy legends it is Michael, the invincible heavenly energy, who goes to battle against him. What should we think of all this? When the unknowable spirit radiates into primordial substance, into the materia magica, and when the fire is ignited therein and the elements begin their chain reactions, then there simultaneously ensues a reflection effect. We could call it a shadow effect. The work of the Lord in the materia magica is reflected like an object in a mirror. You may have discovered that such a reflection possesses power, that a magic effect emanates from it. This effect is not without significance, for although existentially it is nothing, it certainly executes something. Although it is an illusion, nevertheless it forms a focus. This focus cooperates with the being itself in the service of the great goal. Therefore, this focus really is endowed with power. When the spirit enters the primordial substance to begin and execute a divine plan, which totality of divine activity is referred to by the name Christ, that is the Anointed One, He who is allied to the divine plan, then there simultaneously emerges in the materia magica a direct reflection thereof, Lucifer. Alongside the divine sun ignited in primordial substance, the morning star also rises. Lucifer, the morning star, is thus a direct projection of a high reality, but only a projection and not the reality itself. This is why in the holy myths it is said, "He, Lucifer, bears the highest title outside heaven, but he cannot exist in heaven." So in every manifestation in the materia magica, we see that two flaming fires exist, a concentric and an eccentric one, a divine one, and one resulting from a natural process. When the divine process stagnates, it is not the case that the natural process ceases its activity as well. On the contrary, once this twofold process is in motion and the nuclear process stagnates, then the nature law double will continue to rage on as a blind force with all the attendant consequences. When a thought arises in your brain, an image of it is immediately projected into your field of manifestation, which keeps its eye entirely fixed upon you. You have made a star rise in your microcosm. Even if you later abandon this thought, the thought image continues to radiate and does its work. So you can imagine that there was once a time of which the ancient holy poets sang, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Job 38:7. Also, you can understand when the old seer says, how you are fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of dawn, how you are cut down to the ground. Isaiah 14:12. And you will now understand the author of the book of Revelation when he prophesies, to him who conquers will I give the morning star. Revelation 2:28. Whoever truly wishes to be a pupil of the school of the Golden Rosicross must fulfill a Pentecost commission. By an enduristic life in repentance, humility and self-negation, he must offer his spirit spark atom, the original hydrogen atom, to the universal spirit in the one prayer born of the renewed mode of life. Holy Spirit, come upon us. Then Christ, the Anointed One, the original divine torchbearer, will make his abode in your heart. That is, the original atom in you will again contact its archetype. It will begin to act and to radiate as we described above. And, oh wonder, outside you in your field of manifestation, the image of the immortal man will rise before you. The morning star is then risen again, the ancient Lucifer, the glorious one, and in a connection with this focal point, the temple of God, the edifice of transfiguration will be completed. And when the image of the immortal man stands bodily in the firmament of our microcosm, then the words of Revelation 22 literally come true. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to you with this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who is thirsty come. Let him who desires take the water of life without price. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.